Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we left off last time, I said that all people either love God or hate God. You are either a lover of God or a hater of God. Which are you? It is interesting to me that we who love God are often hesitant to think of others, those who are not in love with the Lord, as simply being ambivalent or only hesitant towards God, but certainly not haters. Maybe out of a desire to be gracious or to somehow will along these people to take up an interest in God, we can fall into a self-made or Satan-invented trap of not seeing the unredeemed sinner for who he or she actually is, and for who we once were. The Bible gives repeated witness to this. Anyone who does not love God hates God, whereas we tend to reserve hatred towards God for what we think as the real evildoers, the genocidal maniacs, the killers, the pedophiles, anyone who would hurt a child, and the demon-possessed Satan worshippers, that sort. God goes much further and says that anyone who does not love me hates me. He puts us all on one side or the other of this dividing line. And God treats everyone who loves him very differently than everyone who hates him, as we are about to see. Therefore, if you are someone who loves not God, the implications for you are tragic. Do not be lulled or fooled into believing that being ambivalent towards God is not really a big deal. Do not think that you are doing enough good works, and certainly someone as kind and generous and as much of a good citizen as you are then worthy of God's love and acceptance and favor. No. The truth is, God sees you as a person who hates him, because you do not love him. Sticking with the book of Romans, let me take you back from chapter 8, our current study, to chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 28, we read the list of sins associated with those to whom God has given over to a depraved mind. That is, those people who no longer acknowledge God, who do not love God. As an act of judgment, the Lord then hands them over to Satan to do the things that are in their hearts to do. Every one of these sins, done as people lash out against God, is fueled by hatred towards him. Listen to the list. You will easily recognize the popularity of these iniquities today. Specifically, there is one that I want you to hear. I'm reading in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 28 to 31. Romans 1, beginning in verse 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. Now, this is how people who hate God act. And did you hear this? Haters of God. Haters of God, that was found in Romans 1 verse 30. And this is a word that is used only here in the Bible. And it means haters of God or hateful to God. And there it is, right in the middle of this list of behavior, descriptive of men and women who do not love the Lord. Furthermore, please note that there are a lot of sins listed here that we tend to reserve for whom we claim are the real evildoers. We have evil, inventors of evil, we have wickedness and murder. But we also find sins that we tend to think of as not really being evil or reflective of someone who hates God, but here they are: strife, deceit, malice, gossip, disobedient to parents, untrustworthy. The truth is, all of this is done by people who hate God. No one who genuinely loves God will continue to live like this. Now, someone says, "Hey, wait just a minute, mister. I know people who say they love God and act just like this, especially stirring up strife, being deceitful, full of malice, most definitely gossipers. I know lots of kids in youth group at my church and students at the Christian school who are disobedient to their parents." Yes, but first, is their behavior reflective of someone who truly loves God? Second, it is possible for someone who does love God to sin in these ways for a season, but then to truly repent, to confess that sin, to receive the forgiveness of the Lord, and to put that sin behind them. We are coming to how people who love God act, how they behave, but for right now, do not get sidetracked from the main point. Those who do not love God hate God. They are haters of God, Romans 1 verse 30. And we who love God should not apologize for the Bible. We should not be ashamed of or shy away from how Scripture handles haters of God. We must not soften the blow, even for family and close friends who say, "I do not hate God. I am merely ambivalent towards Him. I just don't believe in Him the way you do." No, in our conversations, well seasoned in grace, we must take opportunities given us by the Spirit of God to affirm that if a person does not love God, he or she is in reality hating God. And what will follow is an invitation to repentance. That is to say to this person, "Stop hating God and love Him. Here is how to repent of your sin." And then you will go on to tell them the gospel about how Jesus died for their sins according to the Bible, that Christ was buried and then raised to life on the third day. And you will urge him or her to believe this good news for themselves. They too can be set free from the sin that has so easily entrapped them and devastated their lives. Dear Christian, lovingly, yet boldly, invite the haters of God you know to love Him instead, and to do so, of course, through their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you might want to know, where in the world did this come from? Why is Swallow so worked up over the haters of God? Well, you must not have heard what was said yesterday when I pointed out to you a dividing line the Spirit of God makes right here in our verse, Romans 8, verse 28. So let me get this back on your mind. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." On one side of the dividing line, God puts those who love Him, and He says He will cause all things to work together for good to those who love Him, who are called by Him. On the other side of the dividing line, God puts those who hate Him, and He will not cause all things to work together for good to those who hate him. There is a division here, and that division is made by God. Remember, in the original Greek text of Romans 8:28, this phrase, those who love God, is put right up front. Greek is much clearer than English. We translated the Greek text as, and we know that to the ones loving God, all things work together for good. Well, that is so clear. And we know that to the ones loving God, all things work together for good. Now, throughout all that I have said, if this question came to your mind, it would not surprise me. What does it mean to love God? Well, this is a very good question, and we are going to answer it. Starting tomorrow, we will look closely at those who love God to those who are called. I hope you will join us for this. But as we end, I have a question for you. Are you someone who has realized that all things are not working together for your good, and you would like to change that? Do you want all things? And we are talking about literally everything. Do you want all things to work together for good in your life? If so, then love God. If you will genuinely love him, he will work everything together in your life, as hard or as difficult as it may be. He will work it together for your good. But it is conditional on you loving him first. To know how to love God, stay tuned on this podcast or on this very fine radio station, and then join us again tomorrow, because we will continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.